Hi, everybody. It's Greg Golden with Forsyth Sports 365. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. We're here with another podcast, and it is a Coach's Corner. Our first Coach's Corner of the 2025 season. We're delighted to have you along with us. I couldn't do this by myself. My partner is here, as always, Doug Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Greg, how you doing? How exciting is we're back. We're back in the field house. We're looking at some new helmets and everything, and there's equipment all over the place. It's just exciting to know that we have football starting this week.
It's in the air.
It is.
It's in the air. We're a week earlier than everybody else, maybe, but we're going to get it started, and here's the guy who's going to drive the car. Ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the War Eagles, James Thompson. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Greg. Doug, thank you guys for doing this. This is a fantastic idea, great show, and I'm excited to get going.
Well, we appreciate having you in here. Nice to see you. Doug's got a couple of questions right off the bat. We know you've been relocating a little bit, and we're going to let Doug get the first question in.
I want to say also thank you very much, because you can tell how much interest you take in this podcast and your other coaches as well. We've already done a lot of them with, you know, your assistants and everything. We obviously, during the year, we want to get them in here as well. So we really appreciate that. But I want to give listeners an update on you, because you know what? Moving is not easy. You came up here first. Your family's still in Florida and everything. So update everybody on where they're at. Is your family up here now? Have you sold your house, which would be a weight off your shoulders, everything? And then you could just focus on football.
And we sold the house. Sold it 2 days ago. So, man,
Congratulations, man. That's great.
Happy about that. I mean, that's a big burden for me, was paying a mortgage and paying rent. We're all moved in here. We had great help from the kids, great help from the community here, just helping us move in. And I think that really signaled to me that we're in the right spot. And the plan, this move for me, was to get into a place I could stay for a while. And it seems like we're hitting every mark. So, man, I'm happy and we're settled.
Do you want to tell us what neighborhood you're in?
You know, we're up there. I don't even know the name of the neighborhood. We're probably about a mile from north Forsyth High School. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's a growing neighborhood.
Yeah, he drives past the team we're going to play eventually, and just comes right
to here. Yeah. Don't tell me. He's doing a little scouting up there.
There we go.
You know, I run their track, so I think they think I'm scouting on it.
Fantastic. You know, one thing we'd like to talk here is, obviously, I'd like to start with what you have had to deal with. And I want to know, with the logistics, everybody, I'm talking about with right now, just so everybody knows, South Forsyth here has been putting in a new track, adding a lane to it, and so it was completely redone. And so the football team has been all over the place. Talk about what that experience has been like to come in, especially as a new head coach. You got a new team, everything, and you got to go everywhere else. And have you ever had to experience anything like this in your career?
No, not like this. There's been too many variables here. It's something I haven't experienced yet. And again, this is someone that's done this a long time.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this. I don't think that we could have been where we are with any other group of kids. Because these guys, I mean, it was literally almost nightly, we're letting them know where the practice is going to be. And, it's here, it's there. And sometimes it's too early for us to get out here on the field, our field. There's times we didn't have lines here, so we had to go to the park. Well, the park was on a different schedule as well. So, I mean, it's been a lot of variables thrown at us, and we're still not even really at home. The kids got moved in here back into the field house less than a week ago. So, man, I'm anxious to get on a routine and anxious to get these kids, you know, back to normalcy where we can line up, you know, and have, like, lines in the end zone and a field goal post, things like that need to play. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we're getting back into a routine here.
Well, one thing is good, too, because I know they're obviously they were putting new air conditioners in, and I think for a while you might have been sitting in here with no air conditioning at all. And when I walked in this morning, it feels really good. So, obviously, it's working.
Well, I was freezing when I first moved in here, so it went from, there was no air, you know, no conditioning of air, you know, so like I'm freezing, and then now in the summer I was burning up, so yeah, man, thank goodness for air conditioning.
Yeah. So far in the summer, obviously we know you've been all over the place, and hopefully the field, you get it back quickly. and everything. But you guys have done some camp. You did some 7-on-7. So I'd like to have you talk a little bit about 7-on-7 and tell people, you know, in 7-on-7, you know, what you look for and everything. Because there's no doubt 7-on-7 doesn't tell you, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I got. But for the season, but talk about a little bit on 7-on-7, what you look for and how you saw them improve as they started from the beginning to where they ended up.
You know, football, especially in that world, it's about one-on-one matchups, right? If you do the right job coaching-wise, you're going to get the kids in a one-on-one matchup. And then it's up to them from there to win or lose. And I think you kind of get that isolated in 7-on-7. Now, it's nowhere even close to real football as far as the points and stuff like that. But if you take it play by play, can you win this matchup, this play as a player? I think you can get a lot out of those things because it's still just competition. We didn't, you know, I don't think we're ever going to be a good 7-on-7 team. But I think when you look at the quality of rep from rep one to call it rep 200-something at the end of it, we had a lot of growth and we had a lot of improvement on who we are. So becoming the best version of ourselves is really the key in the summer programs. And that's why you get into these, you know, the lineman 5-on-5 pass pros, the 7-on-7 things. And, you know, if you're in it to win it, I think you're in it for the wrong reason. But if you're in it to get the kids better on one-on-one matchups, I think you're in the right business.
You know, something else that people that we haven't even talked about really in the past to think about is these players you have today for 3 years, for the guys for 3 years or at least two years, have been all used to the same offense and everything and the same defense that this, you know, the school has run for forever other than little tweaks. You have new offensive coordinators. You have new line coaches, new defensive coordinators. So you're introducing – these guys have to learn a new language basically, you know. So how has that gone and everything? Because obviously, you know, and by the time you start a first 7-on-7 to later on, they're going to get more experience. But talk about that transition.
Yeah, that goes back to being relocated because we didn't have a chance to staff meet.
Yeah.
So, you know, we film it. How do you watch the film? And how do you get on the same page with all the other coaches? But there's a lot of familiarity there with everybody that I've hired because of – I hired people based on who they are more so than their coaching acumen or how much knowledge they have. And I mean, I'm sincere when I say that. I think if you're a good person, you can learn football. If you have a learning mentality, you can learn. And sometimes when you hire these seasoned veteran coaches, high school coaches, it's hard to change their mind on whatever they've been doing. And it's been successful or sure, whatever, but like – it's just kind of hard to get through and teach something new. So hiring people that I think are very innovative and receptive to learning was the key. And it really showed here with all this, you know, moving variables that we've dealt with. So, for example, you know, we'd have to all independently watch film. And then we'd have to get together and talk about, you know, why we're about to do this, who we feel is better fit for this. We should probably change that. And then so the film, the watching the film and then discussing the film was fragmented. It's been difficult, man. That's a whole nother realm of the relocating stuff that's really hurt us is not even having a place to meet as a staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned also, too, because that was one thing I was hearing. Like I said, I don't have a player here anymore, but I hear through other people that, yeah, like you said, I mean, practices, you guys were having to tell these kids, you know, the night before, maybe sometimes where they go. But that's also, you know, think about that for the parents, too, because a lot of kids that don't drive, parents got to do, so they have to plan their days around going to work and everything. So hats off to them as well for getting all that together. So you had the 7-on-7s, and then, you went to, I heard fantastic things about the padded camp you went to, nothing but positives. Talk to the listeners about what the padded camp exactly was. How did you play other teams or how the interactions were and everything? And plus, it was an overnight stay. How much fun did the guys have?
Right. We had two. We went to Buford and got to look at their facilities and how they run things. And it's
that's an amazing feeling.
I was up there yesterday.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's what football should be, man. Yeah. That's Georgia football.
I used to think McEachern was –
Not anymore, man.
But it's really cool. You know, they do a good job running that program there. And they invited the right teams to that camp. And we were able to just be a part of it and learn and compete. And the way that they work is you kind of just rotate teams. You get about a half hour with the team. And then, you know, you do some drills and, you know, some team. And then you move on to the next one. So it gives you a good gauge of what you're able to do and where you are relative to the rest of the state. That's probably the biggest key here, indicator. Because, like, if we just practice ourselves, there's no telling how we would line up and match up. So we've really got a good gauge, good or bad. We know who we are. Being self-aware, I think, is the first ingredient to being a successful team. Because if you're delusional either way, or you're critical of yourself, I don't think that either of those are conducive to winning. So we are self-aware. We know who we are. And going into this season, that's a really big, that's a big plus. That's all you can ask for in the summer.
Now, saying that, on the heels of that, I want to go back to our last coach's corner. And one of the things you told us a couple months ago, I guess, or a couple weeks ago, however, you said that the team was further ahead than you expect them at that time. So now, having gone through all this, what do you think of the team? Are they still ahead? Are they still achieving faster than you expected?
Very much so. Very, very much so. We've got more installed than I've got my old quarterback from Northview on staff with us. And we're...
What's his name?
Bo Lark. He coaches the quarterbacks here. Imagine coaching the quarterbacks when Cordell Stewart is, on staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played quarterback. So, you talk about a guy that's got to be confident in who he is, and he's done a great job, coaching Will Watkins and Blake and...
Oh, you mentioned Will.
Yeah. We've got some great, So, anyways...
We'll get back to that.
Where we are right now, Bo says it's year three at Northview as far as installs, as far as what we're able to do. Now, when I say that, if you're listening, you're probably thinking, you think you're going to win. It's not about winning, right? It's just not. It's about how much can they retain? Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to getting the kids in the right matchup. Now it's about the kid winning the matchup. That's coaching in general. That's everybody. We feel really good about where getting these kids and the ability to win a matchup here and there. And the game falls, the points fall where they fall. But, man, I'm excited for what they're able to do. The mental part of this game, they've really overachieved, and I'm excited to watch it.
Right now, so you guys have been in – how long have you been in full pads now? And you had the acclimation period and everything. How long have you been in full pads right now? Today is day one. Okay. So there you go. One thing, so this question would probably come better next week, but I always love to hear, from the beginning of when you got everybody together and you started to now, we're basically almost to August. How many kids all of a sudden you go, okay, wow, where did this one come from? He's stepping up. This is completely different. I can tell this one's been working separately and everything. I always love to hear those stories of who has just come out of the woodworks that you weren't expecting.
Doug, I think that's a question probably more suited for in 2 weeks after the preseason game.
Thinking, yeah.
Because we still don't know who can tackle.
Yeah.
Right? All the camps are all just shells. Yeah. We don't know who's going to the ground. Who can actually get guys on the ground? And that's a big question mark. So, I like you said, there's been a lot of rotation. There's some key positions that we're still unsure about.
Yeah.
I think that we'll have a good idea, after these two games here.
I think one thing I'm looking forward to and to seeing with your coaching staff, because one thing that everybody has watched the games in the past of South under has seen is tackling's definitely been an issue. It's because I think there's everybody's coaches and stuff are so concerned about players getting hurt, but kids have lost that form and how to do it. And, yes, you can swarm and everything, but there's nothing worse than a running back or receiver getting those yards after a catch or those yards after the first hit or anything. So once you get going and everything, how do you think you as a coach will be able to do differently, which you keep trying to keep them from getting hurt, but also focusing on how to tackle and everything?
So a lot of factors go into it.
Yeah.
And being a part of a lot of different teams with a lot of different athletic ability. Mm-hmm. The first thing everyone needs to understand is to tackle is an athletic movement. You must be athletic to have the ability to tackle, right? Now, it's almost like speed. So if you're either born fast, or you're not, and I hate to, say it like that, like you can't work at it, you can get slightly better. Mm-hmm. And there's ways you can get faster, and there's ways you can overachieve at it. And that's what we try to focus on, is getting us to be the best version of ourselves. That's the key to this thing, is to do everything we can to become a better tackler. The second element to tackling, and I think speaking to your point, is finishing plays, right? And that's the hardest thing to do in football is finishing. Because, I mean, there's a point where you wrap somebody up and then your energy kind of leaves your body. Mm-hmm. And it happens at youth football a lot. And by the time they get into high school, what happens is they kind of assume it's the same kind of game.
Yeah.
And it's not, because the good players in this game in high school, they finish those plays. They run violent. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're unprepared, like you haven't seen this before. And there's no way to simulate that in practice. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it's going to look like. Like, what are we going to look like doing that? And I think the key is just continually preaching, finishing the play, mm-hmm. doing the best you can do, grabbing on, holding on, finishing through the whistle, right? So if we can accomplish that, you know, and sometimes you'll miss a tackle, but like if we can accomplish that, then mission accomplished.
I think it's important for the listeners to understand, listen to one of the things that you said there is, so that this first scrimmage is on Friday, and your first day in full pads is starting today. I mean, so you think about that. You don't have a lot of time to put that together. You know, I mean, I'd be curious what all you're going to be like. What I'm looking to see in a game on Friday night, like at a first scrimmage, is, okay, are they all lined up in the right place? Are they not jumping off sides? Are they all moving on the same signal and everything? And even on the tackling part, yeah, they're going to miss tackles, but were they in the right spot where they needed to be? Because then you know, okay, I can work on the other things.
100% correct.
Yeah.
And that, as a coach, that's kind of what you, especially in this preseason game, you kind of just want to put them in positions that are maybe difficult. Mm-hmm. And just see how they respond. And, you know, if there's a dominant receiver, I think you have ways to vice that and stop that in the season. But maybe in the preseason, you just let that corner try to deal with it, you know, and then those kind of things. And so, yeah, to focus on, to get the kids better is the key. If I was worried about the scoreboard, you know, like that's not onside kick it in the preseason. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? So, I'm just excited to see these kids compete, and I hope they can finish the play. I hope they can start fast. I hope we can do what they can capable of doing.
You know, one thing,
do you talk to the kids about intensity? Because my thing has always been, you have to match the intensity of your opponent, and so that's something that comes from within, and then as a group thing. But you got to start with the individual, and then bring it into the team. Do you follow that logic at all?
Yeah, I believe that. Our practices are extremely intense, and we put as much pressure as we can on every kid, and we kind of get it to where they're scared to move. And the reason being is for a purpose, and that purpose being, if we can make practice harder than the game should be fun, right? And that's kind of where I'm trying to go with this is, let's put as much pressure, let's make them as uncomfortable as they can be, let's make it intense, and to where they get in the game, and it's like, man, I'm allowed to have fun now. Play loose, play fast. I mean, I don't know everything, but I hope that works. We'll find out here soon, right?
That's right.
There's so the roster, there's 71 on the roster. I think I may be off one, but 22, 23 seniors, and there's one freshman. So a lot of younger kids on the team. And right now, you know, we've talked that you've got quite a few players right now in your head that are playing both ways. You know, is one of the things you probably also hope as a head coach is all of a sudden you see somebody come out of the woodworks on this one and go, okay, I may not have to have this player, other player go both ways. And also in that same aspect, do you have some players that you're like, I think he might be good here, but he might be here, and we might see them move to different positions during this game?
Yeah, there's a lot of Robin Peter, that kind of deal. There's a lot of moving guys, and there's a lot of shuffling we're going to do to kind of get the right people on the field. The key of this is to get the right 11 on the field, regardless of anything, to get the right ball players on the field, because that's what the team respects, right? And I think you lose people as a coach, and now I guess I'm talking to coaches out there. It's if you don't have the right people on the field, you'll lose the team. Now, that may require guys to turn around. But you look back, and where I've had success as far as win losses, where we turned – like. When we were ranked 6th in the nation at Gainesville, we turned 6 kids. Like, let that sink in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we did it at that, and we were able to do it at a high level. You know, in Northview, we had success. Our roster was 32 people. We had a 32-man roster at Northview, and then we ended up going to the playoffs and had, you know, a good run there. So that's part of it, man. And there's no doubt on the sidelines, the kids end up cheering because they know this is what the team needs. So I'm not afraid to turn guys both ways. We always want guys to step up, And so we don't have to. And it makes us better if that happens. But, you know, we're going to do what's best for the team.
I'm assuming with that many going that you've been that, you know, as far as getting these guys out and working and running and everything, how intense has that been on the training and everything to get their, you get their bodies ready for that?
We try to focus on a more, because injuries were an issue last year. And
have been for a while. Yeah.
Right,
a while,
right,
yeah.
Right. And we studied, I guess, what can we do to help prevent that? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we brought in a strength coach to kind of help with that. You know, I challenged him with that task. It wasn't really to build their stamina up, more so to prevent injuries. And I think we've done a good job, you know, whether that's just running in different angles and doing those things that kind of strengthen the little, you know, I'm not a scientist.
It's definitely a crapshoot, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, we're doing the best we can. And, again, at the end of the day, if we do get hurt, at least we can say, man, we tried. We put our best effort into getting these kids healthy. Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, because you mentioned him. I want to give a shout out to PJ, which is your strength coach now, and he's also doing other things because he's already communicating with me. Really, and I sent him a separate email yesterday because he sent me these for Scythe Roster. And I said, I want you to know, I've been doing this. This is my 12th year. I have never had a coach just send me the other team's roster. I am every week going 10 emails
chasing.
And phone chasing. And I usually end up finding it on a Thursday. So hats off to him. And I already told him how much I appreciate that because I have never had that happen.
There you go, man. Staff's working out higher than expected already.
We're not where we need to be, Doug. Right? But like, yeah, you're right. That's a part of it, man, is being, you know, being assertive enough and trusting yourself to know what needs to be done and get it done. And that goes for everybody on the staff here. I think that with, you know, give us a little more time. You know, there's little things like the way our roster goes out. There's a certain font we use. Mm-hmm. And I'd like everything we use to be in this font. And then the logo we have is in this font. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So, like, the wings on our helmet are the wings from our logo. Yeah. So getting things uniformed, and this is what this looks like. Mm-hmm. This is what this looks like. And then implementing those things, it's been a challenge with all the chaos, and that's kind of gotten shelved.
Yeah.
Now that we're getting back in, you're going to see more uniform and a system and a process for everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like kudos to Coach Golish and those guys at South Florida, because I think that maybe I wasn't as good as that earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. But watching a guy that, you know, his staff, they were really, really, really anal about these things, about this is a certain way here. This is the process for this. This is the process. And so it would frustrate me because I'm more of a handle it, you know, as you can handle it. But now I'm learning from that. And again, it goes back to I'm 42 years old, mm-hmm. learning, right? And that's kind of what I expect from my guys here too.
I love that you're saying that because one thing I've always said, if you can walk around this school, you can look. And there's more different blue colors, you know, they're not the same, you know, logos aren't the same and everything. And you know, and you are right. If somebody goes out to the website, it should look one way. And as soon as they see anything, it should all look uniform. And it's like Kevin Bronner, who does our field stuff. That was the first thing he was asking. We were talking about, because we're getting new flags and stuff. He goes, I need to get exactly what, you know, you have because you want it uniform. So it matches when your players are out there and then everybody, because everything, they make everybody go, wow, this is all together. I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. So hey, talk a little bit about the game on Friday night. Give everybody.
Wait. We're 2 days away.
Yeah.
All right. How close do you have to be to identify your ball players? And I asked you before we started, can we drop some names? And you said, absolutely. So let's go to a guy that I know you're going to count on to open some holes, Ben McKee. You got to be counting on this guy, that 6'5", senior. Is he 300 now yet?
He's well over 300.
Is he over 3? Okay.
Yeah, I tell you, he can move for his size. He's big. He doesn't miss practice, right? And he's gotten so much better and just been humble and taking this approach of work. I can count on Ben McKee. In fact, he's going out with the captains here on Friday. Mm-hmm. So,
have you picked your captains already?
Have you guys named your captains?
You know, Callum and Witt seem to be the unanimous captains of this team.
All right.
And what we're doing is rotating from there, captains we feel appropriate for the week. So you'll see Callum and Witt pretty consistent. And then the other two will be, you know, as
Witt's a repeat captain. He was a captain last year, too.
Yeah. They're leaders, and they're leaders off the field. And when we kind of polled the team when I first got here, their name just, it was like overwhelming. It was just those two. And so rather than.
Now, will they be on the same side of the line together, Witt and McKee?
Witt's going to be center for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a change. All right.
Yeah. And I mean, in our stuff, in our pro offense, like it's more cerebral than it is, you know, anything else. I mean, he's got to ID things and make calls. And it's like a puzzle you figure out every play. And he likes being challenged like that. And I think it makes the game fun for the kids because you don't just go to the line with, I'm going to block down, which is kind of typical old school football, right? Mm-hmm. You go to the line with, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. This. And then we snap the ball, you know. So next play is a different, okay, you know, well, he's, you know, maybe it's this, and try this. And then he comes to the sideline with information for me. Coach, they're doing this. What do you think about? I'm losing this block here. And, you know, again, going back to being self-aware, I think that that's what we've gotten out of that offensive line is they're all learning that it's okay if you're, you know, it's okay. How do we fix it? Let's not be delusional. If you're having trouble, we have a way to fix it. Let's be honest with each other. You know, so I think that we've gotten that part of it. So now we can overcome our egos and just do what's best for the team to get it blocked.
So you've got the offensive line is set. So McKee at left tackle, who's your left guard?
I'm going to leave those. You'll see.
There's okay. All right. You'll see. We're going to work through that. Some that's what scrimmage is for, huh? Mm-hmm. And then Witt at center.
Yep.
You don't want to identify the right side right. yet? Then, we're still going to work
Kyle,
on that?
You know, Kyle has done a good job at Fogarty there at right tackle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's come along, same thing. He's a hard worker. He's I don't want to say undersized. He's a good size lineman, but he's not your prototypical college scouts want to come find this guy at this position. But I think he's going to end up growing to one of the best around at the end of this season.
Mm-hmm. See some good potential. Yeah. That's terrific to hear.
I love what you talk about. Greg knows that, you know, obviously besides watching kickers and long snappers, line is my, I just love it. I lock into it. And I really like you saying that how you feel that these guys can be on that field. And it's so important, you're right, if they can come off and say, Coach, this is what I'm seeing or this is what I'm doing, you know, and then you guys, then you have the ability to look at the film right there in real time and go back and fix it. And I think those are some of the things that were been missed in the past was that when things happened on the field, you do have that time down in the sidelines, but it didn't translate. And so hats off to you guys for coming up with that. And then talk a little bit about the game this week of, you know, because it's not a full-blown game or anything. So talk about, you know, what's limited, what our listeners and people attending the game will see.
Well, first off, I like the coach over there. He's a really cool dude. I met him at they did like a little Forsyth County clinic. And so, you know, he's somebody that a lot of coaches are guarded. Yeah. You know, he's not. He's just open up. And that's kind of the way you need to be. That's how this profession should be. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what you guys are trying to do. You don't play. So why are you protective of what you do? But anyways, kudos to him. I'm excited to compete against him. But we turned off special teams. I think we're going to have punt rush is going to be live. There won't be a punt return. Aside from that, everything will just be going through the motions on the special team side. We're going to try to get the younger kids in the second half. And there's not really a format to that. There's more so just subbing in the second half a little more, mm-hmm. you know, more than usual. I don't want to speak for him, but our goal is definitely not to win at East Forsyth. Our goal is more so to get better mm-hmm. And to kind of give ourselves a better idea of who we are and go into the next preseason game coming out of that one with this is who we are. So, you know, with that lens, it's important for us to play, I don't want to say everyone, but to get the kids that we're focused on the opportunities to make the plays that we think that either they can or can't make.
You know, for you guys too, I mean, everybody's got to understand, this is a scrimmage for the coaches too, I mean, to learn and get used to it. You guys got to learn, I mean, how you're calling your plays, are your communications, you know, working correctly and everything. So there's all that as well. You got to learn to get the kids, okay, how do you get on the bus? Where do you go? I mean, so there's a lot to it, and that's what scrimmage, and I think that's what I like the having that. I mean, I think it'll be a big advantage with the two scrimmage games too, because then the next one, obviously, you'll probably do more full blown. Like, okay, let's make this more like a real game and everything.
Let's look into the backfield real quick. Is Will Watkins your guy?
Yeah, he'll be going out first. His backup, Blake Vincent, is a really – I'll tell you what, man. I think we can kind of get more excited about watching him and his growth in the summer. And Will is so dynamic with the ball. Like, he's somebody that – he might be the quickest player that I've coached. What we're trying to get him better at is when you're a kid, you play football, the goal is to stay up the longest, extend the play the most. In high school football, and as this game gets more competitive, the focus is to get vertical yards. So if you lose yards, if you play behind the sticks, more than likely you're going to lose this game, right? So to get that information to him and to understand that, like, okay, I've got to keep this team in a good position and trust the next play call. So whether it's a bad blown play or whatever, we're going to call another play. But I can call a 3rd-and-7 play. I can't call a 3rd-and-17 play. You know what I mean? So getting him to get that part of it, if he can get that down, this kid could be one of the most dynamic players in the county. I mean, he's electric. He's got, he can move. He can throw it well enough to, like, really, really hurt teams.
He's got a great pedigree, too. He grew up watching his big brother play, you know?
I met his parents. You know, everybody's a great family, great upbringing. He's very disciplined. He's got all the elements. Keeping us out of terrible situations is kind of the task that he's got right now.
Do you see Will, you know, because obviously, you know, we know how quick he is. Do you see him using his legs to, like you say, extend plays in the pocket? Or do you see him doing a little bit more running this year?
Yeah, we don't need to see that. That's where we get your slippery slope here, right? I'm not looking to extend a play. I'm looking more so to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. To do your job. And you're going to be, there'll be times where we're asking you to run, like, yeah, do what you can do. But I think you're on a slippery slope when you say, hey, man, go ahead and do your thing back there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the way football works. And that's not the way any football at this level up works. So if that's your plan going in, I hope I can play that team where that's their plan, you know, because mm-hmm. on this team, on most good teams, on all good teams, it's, look, man, do your job. Mm-hmm. You have to not beat yourself before you can win.
Mm-hmm. How about running backs? We got to throw Kingston Herod's name out there because he started out the season last year like he was All-American and got hurt.
Where's his injury?
Yeah, where's his injury? And we're looking forward to him having a big year if he's ready to go, huh?
Yeah, we've had about, I call it 2 weeks with him back, and he's on track. You know, you see the flashes of what he is. He's got this smooth running about him. And, you know, running backs was my specialty. You know, I coached him in L.A. And he's very similar to – we had a running back named Soso Jamabo who was very similar running style. And, man, I see – every time he gets a ball, I'm thinking that, man, that's Soso. And Soso at the time
– we could have to change his nickname, right?
Soso at the time was they often compared him to Marcus Allen. So it's that kind of smooth.
Wow.
Yeah, smooth, but just
lofty
really,
comparison there.
Isn't it? You know, but you like how I divided it there. It wasn't just, you know, but
not straight, you know,
he's a talent, brother. And I hope that, you know, that injury set him back, but now I think he's on track. I'm hoping he can take, you know, the majority.
You want to name some of the other guys that are stepping up that are in the running back room?
Hammond is, you know, probably – I'm not sure who's going to run out there with the first team, but Hammond's going to take a lot of reps back there and running back. Hudson Rogers has really had – so we did a thing, you know, with Cordell being who he is and stuff, and we felt like with the number 10, it should have been a significant – we should give that to a significant player, someone that had the ability to do this and that and this and that. And, you know, I think as a staff, we decided that Hudson Rogers was that guy because he's dynamic enough to play outside linebacker. Safety, we can put him in man coverage, and then now he turns around and he's a running back.
He's this team's Slash, huh?
You know, it was kind of interesting too. I guess he was a quarterback last year,
so he
hits all those elements. And then on top of that, he's another good kid, just like the rest of the team. They're all good people, so we feel good about giving these guys bones when they deserve. You know, doing, you know, giving them awards and pats on the back. So yeah, he'll be wearing number 10, and I think you'll see him carrying the ball a few times.
How about you want to get into the wide receivers, tight ends?
Hey, whatever coach wants to get into, name it.
Let's finish the offense then. Talk about who's going to catch the ball.
You know, we
and have, block.
Carter is going to be, you know, our X receiver for us. Xavier Harris is at age. You know, Callum's obviously back there in the mix. Yeah. Davis Sanders at tight end. Stanley, you know, he's somebody that I think is kind of underrated, and you'll see him catching some balls and making plays for us this year. So, I mean, the list goes on, but I think that more so, I could talk about him individually, but I'd rather show you guys and then ask me how, you know, hey, this kid came, you know, I don't know who's going to make the plays in this game.
Here's their chance to step up and show you what they've learned and what they're taking out onto the field. All right, we can't ignore the defense. Just without getting into great detail, I got to imagine McKee's going to be a stud on the defensive line, too. Is he going to go both ways?
You know, we haven't rotated him in defense. We know he's capable. So
he's too valuable on offense, huh?
Yeah, you just kind of want to worry about the wind there. You can't turn him off. So we're weighing everything, and that could change, right? But Davis Lancaster on the D-line, I thought, has really taken, you know, turned the corner. I think he'll be a really good player for us. We moved Peyton Brown down to nose, who was a very strong kid. And, you know, there's a lot. Again, it's the same situation. I'm waiting to see who makes a play so we can talk about that guy. Because, you know, I don't know who's asking.
You have things in your mind that you're thinking, but then Friday will kind of open that up to you, and especially when you see watch the film afterwards and everything. What type of defense will a team be running? What do you think?
So you'll see odd front base,
okay,
right? And then there'll be wrinkles that you'll see, mm-hmm, as we move on with this season. But, you know, mostly we're an odd. We're going to be man coverage base,
yeah,
quarters. You'll see, mm-hmm, three. You'll see some cloud. You'll see some, you know, you'll see a lot of different things. But I think with that, the key is going to be, you know, again, it's going to come down to one-on-one match. Who's going to get off a block and make a play?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think this defense kind of gives us a starting point for that, like, okay, this kid was able to do that. And then we can get into more schematics when it counts, which is in the season, the regular season.
Yeah, because one thing that, you know, that I always look for too is, because especially down in the trenches, the more pressure you can get with those down linemen to free up the linebackers and everything, and to keep you from having to blitz a lot, which our team has had to do in the past because we couldn't get that pressure. So that's something that hopefully we're able, you know, we'll see. And like you said, you'll learn this a lot in the game. But there's been a lot go on with you guys in the summer and everything. And, you know, we just appreciate being a part of it, everything. We can't wait to see how things go Friday night and make sure they all get on the bus correctly and get off correctly and come back injury-free. That's the big thing.
All right, well, listen, I know you got the team ready to go. I know the coaches have all been doing their thing. Like I said, 2 days away. The butterflies must be flying. If they're not, you're not alive. That's what I always say. You got to have some butterflies going in. And what do you expect in terms of the number of kids you're going to play? You're going to try to get a bunch of kids on the field?
I think this game is more so about finding the right kids. I don't want to commit to playing everybody yet. But I think maybe next week, if we do the right thing this week, next week could be more so of getting everybody some action.
All right, Coach James Thompson ready to take the team onto the field, make the charge for the opener. It's a scrimmage, but don't tell any of the players or coaches that. It's got a little bit of a flavor of football. Doug Thomas, final word.
Hey, this is just exciting to be back and everything, and just how the coach is so open with us and everything. Really appreciate that because, you know, I mean, a lot of coaches, like you said, they don't like to answer questions. They like to hide it and everything. And you know what? I like you can be an open book and say, we're just going to show it on the field.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking forward to bringing that to you Friday night. We'll be live. Game time. What time are you starting?
7:30.
Is it going to be 7:30? They've moved scrimmages up to 6 very often in the past.
Not
so
hard.
I wanted to make sure. 7:30 ball game time, just like the regular season. And that'll be happening Friday night. We'll bring it to you right here. For the head coach of the War Eagles, James Thompson. For my partner, Doug Thomas, I'm Greg Golden. Thanks so much for joining us. See you Friday night here on Forsyth Sports 365.